Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Alligators terrify me, but I don't want anything bad to happen to them. So this Florida man is facing charges as police say he stole a gator and tried to throw it off a roof. And I want him to have his A double snakes beat. Police say that William Hodge was arrested. He was slamming the animal by its tail and trying to throw it off the top of a building. He told the police that he was, quote, teaching it a lesson. I would like to teach Hodge a lesson and slam him around on the roof of a building and then try to throw him off. That's just me. I'm just saying, you know, teach him a lesson about it. They returned the alligator to the place where the guy stole it. So apparently Ronna McDaniel is out already at, I'm just reporting it. She Puck News, which is some stupid startup. I don't know. They're reporting that. Yeah, she's apparently gone. They're gonna get rid of her. That's the early, they haven't made an official statement, but apparently, Puck News says NBC News is planning to drop XRNC chair Ronna McDaniel as a paid contributor following an on-air revolt from all their talent, like the Maddows and the Scarboroughs and who else?
Nicole Wallace.
Yeah, Nicole Wallace and all these other. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm just, you know. So they're babies, and that's ridiculous. Again, you know how many people worked on different administrations that went to work at NBC or went to work at CNN. Jim Sudo, Jen Psaki, who else? There's a ton of them there. There's so many I can't even, like some of their beat reporters. And then ABC, you have Stefan Albo. I mean, there's a ton of different, this is so goofy. So yeah, and then you have Dan Rather. I just saw this. Breaking, NBC News plans to drop former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel as a paid contributor. And he goes, this is a good decision. Dude. You literally fake documents to try to torpedo a candidate. You and Mary Mapes and Powerline, the website, busted you. What is this guy talking about? Excuse the hell out of you, Grandpa. What are you talking about here? It's a good decision. Who asked Dan Rather? Who asked him? This is so dumb. I kind of want to bully him on the internet. Should I? Feel like I should. I feel like I have every right to. You know, it's like part of my like.
Monday today.
Yeah, it's like my Monday. Well, yesterday was like a double Monday. Anyway, all right. A couple of other things. The gas car situation. Hold up. So you have 8 states planning to ban the sale of gas powered cars entirely because the administration unveiled the plans to phase them out by 2032. Not going to happen. They barely made 7% of car sales in the U.S. in the last year. And I think they all look ugly, except for some of the ones that aren't. There's like a tiny handful that aren't. Everything else is. The ones I can't afford are ugly, or not ugly. The ones I can't afford are ugly. Does that make sense? That makes sense. So they said you can't, you won't have to take your gas-powered cars off the road. You'll be able to buy used and secondhand. This is not going to happen. I actually would riot over this. I'm not joking. Like, I would actually be destructive and I would riot, I think. I love gas-powered cars. Love them. I love gas stations. I like putting gas in cars. But I'm a woman and I don't put gas in my car. I won't even take my car to put gas. That's a man's job. I have things that are the woman's job. That's one of the man's jobs. I mean, I can. I'm a strong woman. I just don't want to. See? So they said that the proposals for 2/3 of all the cars sold by 2030 would have to be EVs. Nobody's buying them. Nobody's buying them. They said that Dodge announced their 24 Charger will be available as a gas-powered muscle car as well as an all-new EV. That's it. But everybody else, like Toyota and some of the others, have been kind of turning around, halting. We talked about that last week. But yeah, Kelley Blue Book says they barely made 7% of all the sales. In 23. Now it's up 3% from 21, but the only people switching to EVs are the people who, I mean, it may, I guess, fine. If you live in a city and you want to drive like down the road and you want your little EV to, you know, peter around it, and that's fine. Good for you. But some of us like to drive more, and that's dumb. You can't do a road trip with it.
Also, by the way, that 3-7% increase you're talking about mm-hmm. is only because the government got in and mandated a bunch of stuff and actually provided tax dollars as a subsidy. So that's the only reason it increased that little bitty percent. That's not the free market at work.
No, it's not the free market. Not at all. I'm never, ever getting rid of my gas-powered car. In fact, I will buy a giant, bigger guzzler of the gas. So stupid. Do people know how EVs are? Do you know where the power comes from? This is one of the things we were at the EU-US forum that all of these leaders, because the EU has been pushing this so hard, and they can't stand it. And it's amazing. I was talking to a couple of people who one of them was like experimenting driving around a little EV where he lives, and he's this is not the Portugal leader, but was saying that he once ran out of literally just like the car died in traffic one time. It's difficult, and not everything can be equipped with, like, you know, the charging. And in Europe, it's even worse to try to like outfit it for the infrastructure for, you know, charging these vehicles and have the correct voltage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's very similar problem in the States. And also, they're just ugly cars. They're ugly. They're ugly, ugly, ugly. They fell off the ugly tree. They hit every ugly branch. I mean, I don't know. They are hideous. I find them to be hideous. There's like three that I think are not. And I only like them because they go from like zero to your face was torn off in 0.3 seconds. That's it. It's an official measure of speed. Otherwise, I hate them. And if they didn't do, that's the only purpose why I like them. I just am not a fan of them at all. Ugh. So that's, get ready, because they're pushing this. This is one of the things that they're pushing and making a central focus to, a jewel, rather, you could say, of the Biden re-election campaign.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the antibiotics pledge on chicken was dropped by Chick-fil-A. They dropped their no antibiotics pledge, citing supply. They said that they have a less stringent standard that's going to allow the use of some antibiotics. They said that the complete ban, which the chain put in place in 2019, they said was to lessen our antibiotic resistance, but they said that they had to ease their rules because apparently there was a major, I guess there's a supply issue of it. That's really not as many people are putting antibiotics in their chickens.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of chicken in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, like that's one thing that there's a lot of, you know, I don't know. That's just kind of, so how do you say it's the same standard of chicken when it's not though? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. Also, the honeybee, okay, this is actually terrifying. A honeybee colony is at a heightened risk of collapse in the Pacific Northwest. We got to be concerned about this, guys. And I don't think it's climate change. It's not flipping climate change. Stop it. I think there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And I think it's some of it's pesticides and all of that stuff that goes into the honeybees. But they said Pacific Northwest colonies are going to endure spring collapses in the near and long term. We were considering putting, there was like a service that said, we'll put honeybee hives in your backyard. But then they wanted to charge you $500 a month to come out and then collect the honey and do all of that. And like that's so you get to use my yard and I have to pay you. I tore it up and put it in the trash. But otherwise, I thought, you know, if like if it was a free service and I got a little honey for my problem, then I'd be like, that's, you know, for my effort, for my land, I'd be like, that's cool. Come and do it. But yeah, they wanted to charge $500 a month. Like, that seems shady, right? That seems way sus, bruh. Anyway, I am worried about the honeybee issue, though. The $27 trillion treasury market is only getting bigger.
Bidenomics.
$27 trillion. I can't even wrap my head around that number. That's insane. This is from the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association. They said the annual issuance of U.S. Treasuries has exploded, doubling since the pandemic began. $23 trillion worth sold in 23. And they said that's not going to slow down anytime soon. And it probably doesn't matter what will happen in November either. That's even scarier that it's just say you got everything that you wanted in November and it still wouldn't turn it around. Retailers are turning to extreme bargains to lure shoppers because consumer spending is in the toilet.
Bidenomics.
They said it's underwhelming. They said that, like, for instance, they're offering designer clothing at discounts, like at 70% or more. And they said that, I will say I do benefit from this because I have a kid who grows constantly. And it's amazing how boys can literally go through three sizes of jeans in 6 months or 7 months. It's insane. I'm like, what? How are you processing this food? That's like a tomato plant. At some point, I'm going to have to pick that top leaf and like get a control on your height. Come on. But they said that it's all over. It's including even designer stuff. It's everywhere. It's like every consumer aspect you can think of, from furniture to accessories to homeware to all of it. And apparently the whole industry is still reeling from a bad Christmas season, which is a super critical time for shopping and shoppers and all of that. So that's yikes. Our partners that help bring you free radio, Kel-Tec, Florida-based company. Florida family values, period. And they make some really awesome firearms, incredibly innovative as well. They have their Sub 2K Gen 3, which is shipping now. And I've loved my Sub 2K. It twists. And the new 9mm carbine, this Kel-Tec Sub 2K Gen 3. So you don't have to detach the optics that you got on it to fold it in half. The previous one you did, this one you don't. Simple twist and fold motion of the patent-pending rotating forend either direction folds it right in half and will just as quickly and easily deploy it. Now, you also have other fine-tuned things on this super reliable platform. Some of the simple upgrades. The upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned mechanics, light and 5-pound pull, upgraded action. You got a redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action for easy racking, a new chamber indicator, all kinds of new upgrades just to push the Gen 3 over the top. From Kel-Tec, made in America, family-owned values at their best. To learn more about the Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you. The 2024 race. Joe Biden's not performing well. They keep saying that they have a turnaround plan for him. I was reading this piece that was published at Time this morning, or last evening, rather. They were saying that they have a turnaround plan to help Biden. They sent out Jill. Didn't they send? Let me pull this up. I have this in my show notes. They sent out Jill Biden and they were trying to, she's just as awkward. She's not an asset. She's like one of the first political wives I've ever seen who is actually not an asset to her husband's campaign, because she went out to California over the weekend and Biden's been trying to fix his poll deficit. And she was talking to a Democrat audience. They paid $100,000 a ticket. I guess that was to the PAC, because you can't make that to a particular candidate. You're maxed out to the nth degree. But she was telling the Democrat audience that paid $100,000 a ticket that Florida's Parental Rights and Education Act was a step towards dictatorship. And she compared Florida to Nazi Germany. And she said that history teaches us that democracies don't disappear overnight. They disappear slowly, subtly, and silently. A book ban, a court decision, a don't say gay law. She says before World War II, I'm told Berlin was the center of alphabet culture in Europe. You realize that they killed gay people, the Nazis, right? The Nazis that were on the left, that's why they were called socialists, national socialist Nazi. They killed gay people. So and this, I don't know why they keep calling this the Don't Say Gay Bill. You can, it's not about saying gay, it's about allowing parents to the power and authority to determine whether or not a teacher in their kid's second grade class can tell them that they have anal sex every night. Literally, that's what the law gets into. It safeguards kids and allows parents to control what the teacher exposes them to in the classroom. I mean, sorry to be that graphic, but the stuff that these teachers, you know, or groomers, whatever you want to call them, the ones that were pushing this, and there are good teachers out there that fought it. I shouldn't have to say that, but we have, you know, honestly, we have some stupid people out there that listen. But it was all about empowering parents and protecting kids. And I just have a problem with an adult that thinks the classroom is the stage for them to talk about their sexual recreation. What the hell is wrong with you? Like, what teacher does that? I didn't even know what the hell my teacher looked like outside of the classroom. I saw my teacher in a grocery store once when I was a kid, and I froze because it was like seeing a damn alien out in real time. It was weird. I'm like, I thought you lived at the school. I didn't know. I didn't even know that they were married or had kids. It was weird. Wasn't it weird? Like, to see your teacher outside of the, they kept it profesh. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't sit here and go, well, let me tell you about the anal sex that I had with my boy. They don't talk about that stuff. Kane's dying. But it's true, Kane. And you know I'm right. That's the, they think that you don't have a right to, the students are not your buddies. They're students. This is so weird. And it was also about the books that were out there. Some of the people that were clueless as to these books, when I showed them and I'm like, look, this is what, a mutual friend that I had with someone here in Texas. This is what her seventh grader literally pulled off their library shelves. And I showed them pictures of the book, and it included students that had a strap on in the book. It was a graphic novel. And the person who didn't believe me was horrified. And I'm like, this is what this is about. And this book is actually recommended to that age group. Do you think that this is something seventh graders should be reading in school? Really? Seriously? What is this? This is a fetish. This is adults pushing their baggage on the kids and then acting like it somehow harms the kids that they can't get at them. That's what this is. But when people see what was really at stake with this law, they're like, yeah, what are they talking about? This had nothing to do with saying gay or not saying gay. It was so dumb. So dumb. And then to have Jill Biden compare it to Nazi Germany. So she stepped in it. So I just don't think that they should send her out on his behalf anymore, because it's a disaster when they send her out. If it's not this, then it's CC Quadway or something. But Democrats are having a problem, and I think they're also having a crisis of optimism.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.